Yep, we're. Okay, we entertain a motion to come out of recess, come back into regular session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Any question on the motion? And then we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Brenerbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now back in regular session. Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I will read the rules of procedure for our zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Excuse me. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and the testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or question. After that, after the opposition's had an opportunity to speak, council may ask the applicant and or the applicant's team a follow-up question or to respond to matters stated by the opposition. After that, the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to the county clerk, and it will be made part of the record. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there is no background noise or discussions. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. And Mr. President, the first hearing today is conditional use number 2533. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays and associated utilities to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 69.03 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Cypress Road, which is Route 54, approximately 62 feet west of the intersection of Cliff Road, which is Sussex County Road 380A, and Cypress Road, which is Route 54. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 533, Map 8. Parcel 10.00, submitted into the record, Mr. President. We have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan and materials. We have a copy of the revised site plan that was added. We have a copy of the applicant's property survey. We have a copy of the property deed. And we have a copy of a letter that's been received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of February 18th of this year. And at the meeting of February 18th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application for the 8 reasons stated and subject to the 10 recommended conditions of approval as outlined in the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, within your paperless packet, there's a copy of that motion along with the draft meetings of minutes of that meeting. Thank you.
Are there any questions from Council? If not, is the applicant or representative come forward, please?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the council, ladies and gentlemen. For the record, my name is Joe Shanahan. I'm senior manager for project development core markets for RWE Clean Energy, which is the applicant for conditional use docket number 2533. Also with me today is Brian Riley of Colliers Engineering and Design, who is our consulting engineer on the project. Brian will be available to address any technical questions that may come up and which I am unable to address. RWE Clean Energy, the applicant, is a result of the combining of RWE Renewables with Con Edison Clean Energy businesses back in March 2023. RWE Clean Energy, a subsidiary of RWE Group, is one of the largest renewable energy companies in the United States, with its corporate headquarters in Austin, Texas, and White Plains, New York, and additional offices in Chicago, Boston, and Fairfax, Virginia. We have a significant track record of developing, constructing, and operating renewable energy facilities with more than 15 years in the United States and a corporate history dating back 125 years. We have a development pipeline of 24 gigawatts in onshore wind, solar, and battery storage, which is one of the largest development platforms in the United States. Over the last 4 years, we have proposed and had approved 7 solar projects here in Sussex County, as approved by this council. We also have a project approved in the neighboring town of Felton, over in Kent County. Conditional use 2533 is a proposed ground-mounted solar facility to be located on Cypress Road, Route 54, in the town of Frankfort. The overall project site consists of a little over 69 acres of land and is owned by the Ellen Scott Anderson Revocable Trust and was owned by Ellen Anderson individually at the time of the submission of this application. The property has been in Ellen's family for 3 generations, is vacant, and is currently being farmed. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge that certain concerns have been expressed about farmland being lost to solar projects here in Sussex County and in other counties here in Delaware. It is important to point out, however, that as is shown on our site plan, this project is to be constructed in a lease area which consists of only 24 and a half acres of the overall 69-acre property. In other words, this project would utilize only 35% of the land owned by our landlord, with the remaining 65% continuing to be used as the family has for generations. In fact, the rent which the landowner will receive from the solar project will subsidize the costs associated with the remaining 45 acres of farmland, hoping to ensure that that farmland will not have to be displaced or developed. And that is also the case with the other seven projects we have here in Sussex County also. The proposed solar facility is a public utility use under Sussex County Zoning Code and meets the purposes of a conditional use because it has a public or semi-public character that is essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. The project is located in an AR1 agricultural residential district. A public utility use is allowed in that district with the approval of this council. The project will be set back some 500 feet from the public road from which it will gain its access. The access will be by means of a 20-foot wide gravel driveway. The project will be enclosed by a 7-foot fence as required by the National Electrical Code. The fence will be gated and there will be a knock box at every gate. The solar project will contain solar array or solar arrays, which is a group of solar panels wired together to collect energy from the sun and send it into the solar project's inverter, converting that power into usable electricity and distributing it to the Delmarva power grid. The panels are hung on posts at approximately 3 feet above the ground and have a height of approximately 12 feet. The ground around and below the panels will be planted with a pollinator-friendly mix that provides more shelter, nesting habitat, and food sources for a variety of insect populations that support wildlife species. The proposed solar project will comply with the specific requirements of Section 115-172 of the County Zoning Code, including the project is surrounded by a landscape buffer strip of open space, a minimum of 100 feet from any street lines, and a minimum of 50 feet from all property lines. Transformers and similar equipment are centrally located and at least 200 feet from any dwelling or property of other ownership. As mentioned in detail previously, the project is surrounded by fencing with a gate and an emergency key box, and a decommissioning plan and cost estimate has been provided. I thank you for your attention to this testimony presented on behalf of Conditional Use 2533, Frankfurt A Solar Project, and respectfully request your approval. If the commission or the public, through the chair, have any questions, we shall be happy to address them. Thank you.
Okay. We'll start down this end. Mr. McCarron, you have any questions?
All right.
Mr. Lloyd? Ms. Quinterbell?
No, I do not.
All right, I have a few. You say you have seven past approvals, correct?
Correct, sir.
How many are in production?
Three are in construction. One is being revised. In fact, I just met with planning and zoning earlier today on that.
Okay, are there any?
Four of them are in process.
Are there any of them in service yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I would point out, Mr. President, that that has nothing to do with the county processes or with the applicant. It is all totally connected to the Delmarva Power study and approval processes.
And the bonding, what is the bonding that you have to put up?
The bonding with the county?
Yeah.
It's a bond to make sure at the end of life of the project, whether the project's abandoned or the lease runs out, we would remove the project, but the county requires that we post surety to make sure that if we don't do it, the money is there for it to be
okay, done. And all those bonds have been posted?
That's correct.
Okay. I see 24 and a half acres of the 69 acres you want to use for this solar array.
Correct.
What are the setbacks on either side of the property line?
They meet the minimums. If you want the exact linear footage, I can call upon Mr. Riley.
I'd like to know. Because there's a lot of tax issues in there.
I understand.
And I'm concerned about that. And I don't want to see any of those tax ditches damaged or moved or done away with because in that farmland back in there and in all of Sussex County, we rely on tax ditches for a lot of water that has to go somewhere. and we're flat and low here.
I'd like to see it if you've got a diagram of it.
What's that?
I'd like to see it if you got an image of it.
I mean, I have just what I have here.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
Just the side setbacks, I'm curious.
Yeah, sure. So the Ryan Riley, I'm with Colliers Engineering and Design. The side setback, the required side setback here is 15 feet. And what is being proposed is to the solar array, is to the actual like panels, 80 feet.
How much?
80.
80 feet.
Okay, and would the fence be, would the fencing be at 15 feet?
No, the fencing is at...
I just can't see it.
Yeah, no problem. The fencing is at 50 feet, 50.
Okay, and then 30 more feet, the panels would start. Okay, and the decommissioning is all set to be paid for within the bonds, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
One thing I might add, Mr. President, because you issue of the tax ditches. As Mr. Whitehouse alluded to earlier, we had a subsequent revised plan submitted. Our original plans, when they went through DENREC determined we were in fact too close to a tax ditch. Okay. And had us move all our panels.
Okay.
Over.
And what made you pick this site or this piece of property?
Perfectly honest with you, Mr. President.
If you could come back to the microphone, please.
I'm sorry.
To be perfectly honest with you, it was a matter of availability. The owner had a quote-unquote agent who was out looking, and we were approached, asked if we might have any interest. Almost all of our projects here in Sussex County are farmland.
So the owner of the land there had an agent looking for... to sell it or looking to lease it or how that
I don't know what the specifics in their relationship were, but
they contacted you
to us. That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, I have a couple questions, Mr. President.
Sure.
The first one, Mr. Shanahan, you said that there was a certain portion of the property that is leased now. Is there anything in your lease agreement or any of the other agreements that refer to an option at a later date to expand this beyond what it is now?
First of all, Mr. Moore, to be clear, I'm not sure there is an actual written lease. I know the land is being farmed with the landlords.
I'm referring to any documents that your company has with the landowner, whether it's an option or a lease at this period. Is there any?
Do we have any possible site control over the remaining 45 acres?
Correct.
No, we do not.
Okay, so you do not have an option to expand years?
Nor would we be eligible because this project already reaches the limit of capacity, so we couldn't build a bigger project or an additional project adjacent.
Okay, thank you.
Anybody have any questions?
No, I don't.
Okay, if there's nothing else to be added, you can have a seat. And is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone you'd like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Come forward, sir.
Thank you very much. Assume this is on.
Yes, it is.
My name's Clifton Parker. I live on 36675 Parker Road, Frankfort, Delaware. I'm a farmer. I farm this property. I'm lucky enough to, we own the ground around the property also. And I'm a member of my cousin Ellen's family. This is, as myself as a farmer, no one protects farmland more so than a Sussex County farmer. We want to continue to see open space. We want to continue to see agriculture in Sussex County, along with tourism, both of them. I think they can live here together. But when you take solar panels, which are subsidized by the government, they would not be cost-effective, they're cost-prohibitive, and our taxpayers are paying for this for no reason whatsoever, in my opinion, where there's so many other things that we could do to generate power in Sussex County and leave the open space for the residents of Sussex County. And the infrastructure that we already have in agriculture in Sussex County. If we don't have farmland to farm, they're not going to be here. And we're not going to be here. Which is, it's in a very environmentally sensitive area. We're right next to the Cypress Swamp. It's lowland. You were speaking of the tax ditches. They're very, very important in just draining the land so we can farm it, but it is excellent farmland, very productive. And it's such a shame to take that away from us. One thing I did forget to do, I do have a handout here, but I'd like to give to each council member.
Okay.
Solar panels are, to a farmer, they're not productive in any way.
That's what you submitted.
And I would very much ask you all to please deny this application. Thank you all very much for my opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yes. Mr. Parker.
Can I ask you a question? It looks
Yes, sir.
Do you till the neighboring field?
Yes, sir.
It looks like there's a center pivot on it that they
yes, sir.
That center pivot would not be operable if you suddenly lose probably a third of its swing.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
What I mean, just a follow-up to that, I think I know, as I own a farm, what does that mean if half of it suddenly becomes unviable? What do you have to do to the center pivot or the remaining field that's no longer getting irrigation?
The pivot will be moved.
Yeah.
It'll have to be taken down.
Understood.
It can run to a certain point, but then it'll have to either stop or be removed.
Right. Got it.
Part of another pivot there will have to be removed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It looks like there's overlap. But
yes.
It looks like that one's gone at that point in time.
Yeah.
And
yes.
The rest of that's dry land that's dangerous.
That's the case, yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Is there anyone else that wants to speak in opposition? Yes.
Good afternoon. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Mr. President and Council, to allow me to come and air my concerns on this subject. My name is Donna Mitchell, and my address is 27824 Cypress Road, Frankfort, Delaware. I would live within 80 feet of the property we're discussing today, so I border that property. Grew up with Ellen. She was my best friend as a child. I'm familiar with Cliff. We've all lived back there our whole lives. Farmland is very important and is shrinking at an alarming rate in our country, but when taken care of, it is harmony in tune with man and nature, and that's what I hope you will see today. You as a council serve an important role in making decisions concerning the fine balance between development and protecting parcels of land for farming to sustain us and also protecting valuable habitat for nature, the animals, birds, bees, and all other forms of life, including plants and trees. I want to go on record and say that I am not against solar farms or any form of green energy, but I am very much against a solar farm being placed in this area, and I would like to explain to you further why. I did some research, and under the title of Site Selection and Land Use Planning, I discovered three things listed as important. Number one, identify areas with minimal ecological value and low wildlife sensitivity. Number two, prioritize the use of brownfield sites, abandoned agricultural lands, or degraded areas for solar development to minimize habitat fragmentation. And number three, avoid siting solar projects in critical habitats such as wetlands, riparian zones, or important wildlife corridors to prevent disturbance to sensitive species and ecosystems. Research warns that solar farms can negatively affect ecosystems and could potentially impact the migration route of animals and birds. Please consider that we live less than a quarter mile from the Great Cypress Swamp, also known as the Burnt Swamp, which is of great ecological value and is the home of 73 breeding species of birds, including two regionally rare species, the Swainson's warbler and the black-throated green warbler. eBird has records of at least 94 species, some found during migration, which do not breed here. Our farmland next to the swamp is important in their ability to migrate. The Great Cypress Swamp is the largest freshwater wetland and continuous block of forest land in the state of Delaware. It covers 50 square miles. It serves as the headwaters of the Pocomoke River that stretches approximately 66 miles through southern Delaware and southeast Maryland and eventually ends in the Chesapeake Bay. It also serves as the head of the Pepper Creek and follows approximately 8 miles east-northeast and into the Indian River Bay. It is a place so important that then-Senator Joe Biden in 1980, at the request of environmentalists, proposed the swamp be made into a national park. It was eventually not done due to concerns of large numbers of visitors and how that would impact the sensitive area. Senator Tom Carper revisited the idea again in 2004, but it was not done for the same reasons. As for the recommendation to place solar farms on brownfield sites and abandoned agricultural land or degraded areas, this site is just the opposite. This proposed site is on rich, fertile farmland, located in the center of farmland that has been farmed together for as long as I can remember, and I am 77 years old, so that's quite a long time. The fields produce beautiful crops and also provide habitat for the birds and animals who live here, along with the ones who migrate back and forth to and from their winter homes. Even seagulls come to feed when the earth is plowed and made ready for spring planting. Other times, the fields are filled with geese or swarms of birds sensing snow and bad weather is approaching. We also have bald eagles in that area, and they can be seen flying over those fields, and we have several pairs nesting in the swamp and the woodland behind that. So that is a great concern. My backyard is home for beautiful finches, yellow finches, and many hummingbirds, and I wonder what's going to happen to them if a solar farm comes next door. The research warns that the reflective surfaces on panels can create solar glare that disorients birds and insects, increasing the risk of collisions with solar panels or nearby structures. The use of pesticides, herbicides, and other chemicals in solar farm maintenance can also have an unintended impact on local wildlife, the populations, and the ecosystems. And there is the danger of groundwater pollution, which is a serious concern for many reasons. All of us who live there are not, we don't have access to town water and sewer, so we depend on our wells for our personal usage. Solar panels contain heavy metals such as lead and cadmium. If not managed properly, this can leach into the groundwater and the soil, posing environmental and health risks. Despite all attempts to avoid such a thing, accidents can occur and panels can break or crack, allowing unwanted toxins to leak into the ground. These panels are reported to have an average lifespan of 25 to 30 years. and a significant volume of waste is created after that time. Because recycling is too expensive, most panels wind up in landfills, which increases the risk of hazardous materials also being released and to filter down into the groundwater there where they land. Finally, on a very personal level, I dread the thought of living next to a solar farm for personal reasons that I'd like to share with you, such as the glare. It can affect property and roads. When I did my research, they talked about the glare that could shine out on the roads when the panels are facing a certain way. It could shine into your yards. It could even potentially affect planes going over or things happening in the sky. The noise from the inverters, which produces a humming sound, and tracking systems that adjust panel angles, which can generate intermittent noise. Poor reception. Some of the people living near solar farms have complained about poor TV reception. Again, we live far from town in a very small populated area, so we don't have access to cable TV. We depend on satellites. We depend on that, and I don't want that messed up because of a solar farm. And then there is the very real fact that my property value will drop if I decide to sell my house. And that is a fact. And I live very close. Some studies have suggested that solar farms should be at least a half mile to a mile from populated areas. And I'm going to be next door to it. So these are some of the reasons, and there are others, but I know you only have so much time. And Mr. Moore, you said get to the point, so I'm trying to do that. I hope you will.
Before you go.
Yes.
Can you cite? In the beginning, you gave a list of preferred areas where these should be sited. Where did you find that? None.
You gave a list of three. I think it was brownfields.
Oh, yeah. Would you like me to read it again to you, the 3 points?
I'm wondering your source.
Oh, I looked it up. I mean, I did research online to get those facts.
You just Googled?
Yes. Several sources online, and I wrote those down.
I thought you made some good points. That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for listening to my concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So it isn't an easy job, but I hope this has had some impact.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else in opposition? Seeing none. Operator, can you check online to see if there's anyone listening online that would like to opine?
There is currently nobody on the line.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If Council desires, close public record.
If it's okay with Council, we'll close the public hearing, close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays and associated utilities to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 69.03 acres, more or less, for reasons number 1 through 8 given by planning and zoning with conditions 9A through J.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Mr. President, I'd move that we defer.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion, Mr. Riley, to defer for now, and second by Mr. Lloyd. Are there any other questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes, to defer.
Ms. Grunewald?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. It is deferred for now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. The next matter is conditional use number 2614. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 24.97 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Vines Creek Road, which is Rec 26, approximately 0.31 mile west of Sandy Landing Road, which is Sussex County Rec 342. The 911 address is 32507 Vines Creek Road, Dagsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 10, Parcel 31.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's presentation materials, a copy of the staff analysis report, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits and presentation, which is displayed on the screen. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of February 18th of this year. And at the meeting of March 18th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application for the 8 reasons of approval stated and subject to the 9 recommended conditions of approval as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, your paperless packet includes a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of both of those meetings. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, is the applicant or their representative here, please?
I'm Kelsey Crane from Forefront Power, and I have with me Rick from Colliers. We don't have to go through the presentation unless we really want to. I want to be concise, as I've heard you guys say before. So just a summary of our project. This is a 24-acre property. We're using about 10 acres of it for a 1.992 megawatt project AC. Our project meets all the code requirements and setbacks. It's an AR1 property. It's a fixed tilt project with an inverter centrally located. The panels have a height of about 12 feet and we'll be utilizing pollinator friendly with no seed mix, with no pesticides or herbicides used. There is no battery on this project. We have both Army Corps approval and Delmarva interconnection approval. There'll be no signs or lighting at the project other than those necessary for emergency contacts. It's not actively farmed. Currently have a optioned lease with the landowner for a 25-year lease with 3 5-year extensions.
Did you have anything else? Do you have anything else?
Not.
Okay, any questions from council?
No, yeah, it's just going to be a fixed tilt. It's more of a, our engineers ran the models of, yeah.
Any other questions?
I have a couple. You had 24.9 acres here. How much of it is going to be of the solar array itself?
Just about 10, around 10.
Around 10. Yeah. And what are the setbacks on the side that you're going to have, and setbacks from the rear? I'm very familiar with this property.
Yeah, Rick Roseberry with Colliers. So the setbacks vary on the west side. The fence is going to be set 100 feet off the property line, with the panels being set another 20 feet from there. It's about 120 feet on the west side. On the east side, the fence is going to be set at 50 feet. And then we have our access drive, which is about another 20 feet, and the panels will be just beyond that. So same, about 80 feet on the east side. On the road frontage, the fence is set back. It's at an angle, approximately 140 feet to the fence line, with the panels being set another 20 feet.
Okay.
Now, the rear is much larger because there's an area of wetlands to the north. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a dimension to the rear, but it appears to me that it's going to in excess of 300 feet.
Okay, and how many acres of woods or forest will you be taking out?
You know, I don't have the breakout of forest versus just areas of overgrowth, because okay, most of the site itself, yep, is just overgrown.
Yeah, you know, it's not real big.
No, the vegetation's 20 feet tall, so to speak. So I wouldn't really call that forest.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
What size fence are they? Is being proposed?
7 foot.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty electrical code.
Okay.
And just to note, the inverter itself is centrally located on the parcel. Again, so the inverter is approximately 300 feet from the eastern property line.
What is it? Actually on the tree line on the right side?
Oh, that's just
this is not the project.
Do you wanna, can we pull up the kind of the conceptual layout that we submitted? Sorry, that was just part of our.
I saw you looking at that, and that's not this project.
Yeah, no.
That's what it will look like, hopefully, when it's
Okay.
From the site plan, it looks, this does not look like it will be visible. I mean, if you look at the trees and everything surrounding it.
Yeah, we're keeping the existing vegetation, obviously, as much as possible. But there's that very small frontage, which is about 170 feet off the road.
Yeah, we're planning to do a planted buffer strip along the street frontage there.
And we discussed at the last meeting the vegetative buffer, which is, I believe the code says is at kind of the discretion of you all. We are proposing the vegetative buffer in the front right now without some around the sides due to the existing vegetation. But if that needs to be adjusted for your, you can always get rid of some and then replant it. Mm-hmm. But obviously we want to take advantage of the existing vegetative buffer.
Okay. Any other questions?
Question for Jamie, maybe. So there is natural vegetation that is on the property that would help to screen it, but they would be required to add the vegetative buffer that we require in addition to that?
Correct. So they can utilize existing vegetation for the buffer, but any gaps have to be filled in. So.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, and I believe that is taken care of in one of the conditions that indicate they can utilize the existing buffer in some of those areas. Correct. Any other questions? If not, if you want to have a seat, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
There is currently nobody on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing, and if council desires, close public record.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing and close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll read the short title, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 24.97 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 9 with condition 10A through I.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Mr. President, I'll move that we defer.
Motion, Mr. Riley, to defer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, it is now deferred. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll entertain a motion to go into executive session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Lloyd.
Second.
Second, Mr. McCarron. Are there any questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Gornabell.
Yes.
Mr. Riley. I vote yes. We're now in executive session. We're going to go downstairs.